Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield, and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard. And today on the show, we've got must-hear music with Billboard's deputy editor digital, Joe Lynch. As always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, you can subscribe to us on your favorite podcast provider or iTunes, and that way you won't miss a single episode. And heck, if you want to check out more podcasts from Billboard, you can visit billboard.com/podcasts. Okay, so on Must Hear Music today, Joe and the team will be chatting about new music from Ariana Grande, Licky Lee, and J. Cole, and more. Now, inquiring chart minds would like to know, will Ariana Grande get her first number one on the Billboard Hot 100 chart with No Tears Left to Cry, her brand new single? Unbelievably, Ariana has yet to have a number one on the Hot 100, though she's had 8 top 10 singles, and she's gone as high as number 2 with Problem back in 2014. Bang Bang hit number 3, Break Free hit number 4, Side to Side hit number 4, but somehow a number 1 song on the Hot 100 has continued to elude the pop princess. Will that change with her new single? Only time will tell. In the meantime, we can hang out with Joe and the team and talk all about new music on Must Hear Music.
Hello and welcome to the Must Hear Music Podcast. My name is Joe Lynch. I'm sitting here with Lindsay Havens.
Hello.
And Tatiana Sirisano.
Hello.
Special guest.
This is your second time on the Must Hear.
Second time's the charm. Isn't that how the saying goes?
Not what the saying is, but sure. Second and last time, as it turns out.
Oof.
So anyways. All right, well, we've got some good stuff this week.
Yeah, we do.
Let's start with Ariana Grande. So,
yes.
I guess, like, I hesitate to use the word comeback, but this is her first single in quite a while. It's called No More Tears to Cry. No Tears Left to Cry. Excuse
me. Same thing.
It's exactly called what I... something different than what I called it. Obviously, like, Ariana Grande, you know, there's no need to walk through the whole thing, but this comes a year after the Manchester tragedy. A terrorist attack at a pop star's concert. I mean, this is entirely new territory. Like, mm-hmm. This has never happened before. And there's no playbook, really, for, like, you know, how do you... You know, I mean, aside from, like, the personal element of, like, how does a human being slash artist, you know, deal with, like, the tragedy of that? You know, there's also just, like, the kind of, like, sort of pop culture playbook. Like, how do you move forward past that? You know, does this next song or, you know, need to be a statement on that? Like, is it weird to have something that's upbeat given the tragedy? Does it need to tip to it? Does it need to ignore it? Like, there's just, like, a lot of things that, like, are honestly kind of unfair to put on her, expectations, but are nevertheless, I feel like, there. But that being said, like, if there are expectations for what, you know, a post-terrorist attack pop song would sound like, I think this meets them perfectly. It starts out, basically the sentiment is just, this is well-worn disco lyric territory, but it's like, you know, there are really difficult things in life, but you can only cry so much. After a while, you have to just, like, pick yourself up and, like, dance the pain away. And I think sonically it works because it starts out in kind of a quieter, more restrained vein, and then, like, goes into this, you know, like, not full on, like, anthem, but, like, it's a definite bop. It's got, it's like Madonna 80s bop vibes.
Definitely.
And it's so catchy, and her voice sounds incredible. It's really fun. It kind of has a little bit of like New Jack Swing flavor to it. I love it. I've been listening to it a ton.
I do too.
Yeah, I do too. And I think you're totally right. It walks the line very well in terms of, like, nothing about it is too explicit where there's anything to really, like, drag her for. It's more you just, like, we're sitting here trying to figure it out. But I think she did it in a perfect way where it works in multiple settings and you can apply multiple meanings to it. And
totally.
Yeah, it was a very good first song to release, I think.
I agree. And I think that you have to give her props for, like you guys said, sort of pulling this off in a... She had the right tone with it, I think. And it could have been very easy for her to make something that did not walk that line the right way, and she did. But even aside from like the whole meaning of it, it's a good song, regardless.
Yeah.
You know?
Like
and
I
she
really
had the
like,
Coachella debut, which is really big
and
for
I
her.
And I really like kind of how surprising it is sonically. Like, I didn't expect the beat to sort of change after that first part. I kind of started listening to it and was like, oh, okay, so this is going to be like a sad ballad. And then it just abruptly shifts.
Yeah.
And I love a song that can surprise you like that. So I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. Yeah, we round
that was easy.
Three cheers for Ariana.
Uh-huh.
All right, well, let's listen to some of it. So it's Ariana Grande's song is No Tears Left to Cry. Got the name right that time. All right, that was Ariana Grande. Next up, let's talk about another huge star. J. Cole is back.
Yes,
and you picked, Lindsay, the last song in the album, which is 1985, Long Dash, Intro to the Fall Off.
Yes. So
you want to chat about this one?
I do. I feel like I have to preface this by saying I still have not listened to the full album.
It's been out for a week.
I know. I'm not a massive J. Cole fan.
Yeah, I'm surprised that you picked this song.
Not either, and I've listened to the full album.
Well, I've been busy. Okay.
I've been busy, too.
All right. Okay, I have nothing else. Yeah. I just haven't listened to it.
Let's compare schedules.
So, I actually haven't been that busy. Anyway.
this is just lazy, right?
Yeah, this is just a lazy thing. I'm not a huge fan, but I think that's more important in terms of why I chose this, because this song in particular was, as much as I didn't listen to the album, like, this song was inescapable throughout my week. It was covered in terms of, like, think pieces and on the internet, and, of course, the internet, that's where everything's covered. It was just, like, in every conversation. And Andre Tardio actually had a great piece for Billboard that everyone should go read.
I read it. It was very good.
It contextualized the song in a great way for me, someone who was still like, why is everyone talking about this? I think the first thing to address is, like, it's not a diss track. It's more of like a wise older man imparting his thoughts to a younger generation of SoundCloud rappers, so be it. And it just sort of like, it comes across like a lesson. He's not judging them. He's just like, hey, I've been through this. Like, this is what I have to say. Take it or leave it. I'm just curious to hear in terms of the context and its meaning, what you guys think about it.
I mean, I think that he addressed a lot of the frustrations that people are having with the, you know, SoundCloud rapper sort of industry. Like, there was this one part where he said, think about your impact.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really important. So I'm kind of coming from the same background as you, though, where, like, I'm not, like, a big J. Cole listener. I don't know that much about this. So that piece, who wrote it? Andres?
Tardio, yeah.
Really helped contextualize it for me too, but in general, I just thought he brought up a lot of valid points in the song, and Andres did too in his piece.
Yes.
I like the song a lot. I don't know, maybe more of a J. Cole supporter than some people. I mean, obviously, like, he's wildly popular, so, like, it seems weird to say that, but, like, I think he gets, like, I mean, he can be way too serious, for sure, and I guess this kind of falls into that category, but, like, he's I think, very talented, which is seems like an obvious thing to say, but there are a lot of critics who kind of just like outright dismiss him strangely still. But anyways, this song, I mean, yeah, I kind of love this. I mean, I agree with you. Like, it's not a diss track, but for a song that's not a diss track, like, it's also so mean, and I'm living for that.
I know, but he does it in such a way where it's like, damn, you're being mean, but, like, I have to listen to you, you know?
Well, it's being mean, but it's also just, like, blunt truth. And I love, like, he kind of, like, spells it out for, like, you know, younger. I mean, this is not just for rappers, but really, you know, anyone who's, like, who gets a bit of fame with a hit song or whatever. It's, like, this reminder that, like, if you kind of, you know, like, the gravy train doesn't always last. Like, you know, like, he literally says, he's, like, your audience grows up. At a certain point, they're going to stop coming to the concerts. This is where you get most of your money. And then what happens?
Yeah.
And, like, that is, like, I mean, something that anyone who, like, gets a top 40 hit, like, you know, they should, like, you should get a congratulations and a warning. A, like, hey, by the way.
Definitely.
Like, 5 years from now, maybe save up some money, invest in
this
something.
This song almost, if you just, like, read through the lyrics, it could be, like, a commencement speech almost, you know?
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, that's, like, how I was thinking
of
it.
I'm not trying to compare him to Jay-Z, but do you remember when somebody made, like, a financial advice book out of Jay-Z's music?
Yeah.
Do you know what happened? Like, I almost felt like this was, it was actually business advice. It wasn't just like, oh, I don't like you. It was,
which is cool to get from a song.
So that was interesting.
Right. Yeah, I mean, no, this is like a legitimate, like, even if this like helps one person, like, to not, you know, be that person who ends up in financial ruin.
Yeah, exactly.
To not be, you know, MC Hammer getting foreclosed on outside your mansion.
Yeah.
Anyways, though. So, yeah. So, J. Cole.
Yeah.
1985, the year he was born.
I was going to say that, too.
So, let's listen to it.
I ain't tripping. Listen good to my reply. Come here, little man. Let me talk with you. See if I can paint for you the large picture. Congrats, because you made it out your mama house. I hope you make enough to buy your mama house. I see your watch icy and your whip form. I got some good advice, never quit torn. Cause that's the way we eat here in this rap game. I'm fucking with your funky little rap name. I hear your music and I know that raps change. A bunch of folks will say that that's a bad thing.
All right, that was New J. Cole. Let's do one of Tati's picks.
Yeah.
Or two of Tati's picks, because they're kind of the same.
To do them
We'll do them together. Yeah. So it's Licky Lee has two new songs, Deep End and Hard Rain. And they're separate songs, but they're kind of the same song. I mean, they're not the same song, but like they kind of segue.
And they both like sonically also have hip hop influences, which is interesting. Obviously, she's not the only artist that's sort of taking inspiration from hip hop, but it's interesting to see her do that. And she's always been such a sort of, I don't want to say eccentric, but she always goes with different sounds in all of her music. She never sticks to one. So I can't wait to see what else is in store. I think it was just like a great start. And they both just have really good, like, roll off the tongue kind of choruses, especially the one in Deep End. I love Deep End so much. And it's also like, in for anyone else, I'd almost be like, okay, like, we get the metaphor, but with her, like, it never got to that point. Like, she is very like into this metaphor, but it's never too much kind of. And I also thought it was cool that I saw Hard Rain is produced by Rostam.
That's
an
cool.
Interesting little factoid. But but yeah, I'm a big fan, so I was excited about these.
Yeah, I am too. And, you know, yeah, she's always been eccentric, but I've just always associated her with, like, the slow, sad, like, whatever song was in New Moon or one of the Twilight movies.
Yes.
Like, that to me is her forever vibe. So this is really fun to see her come back and just like go into something sort of different and new for herself, and it works really well.
Yeah,
I disagree. I love her. I definitely prefer her more in the sad, like, girl group, like, vaguely country tinge territory.
Yeah,
I will say I liked Hard Rain. I think that's really interesting, and yeah, the production is so cool. And I like the hip-hop, the hip-hop influence in it, but it's not totally overwhelming.
Yeah.
But I did find, for me at least, Deep End was just, like, a little too much, like, I don't know, just, like, going into the, like, pop and B territory.
Like,
and, like,
too far away from what she
too far,
has done.
And also just, like, her, like, doing a trap-influence song, like, I don't know. I mean, sure, maybe she's a fan of that, but it seemed a little disingenuous, or it just didn't feel real to me in a way. Like, kind of that, like, I don't know, like, alt-pop singer, like, does trap-influence music now. It's kind of like, what? Like, yeah. I don't know. It just made me,
is
I was
she
like.
Is she hopping on the bandwagon or is this like a real creative?
I mean, she probably does like it. I don't want to, like, I don't know her, but she probably loves that music. But it just,
well,
it didn't like sound totally convincing to me. And when she was, some of her vocals sound a little too Lana Del Rey influenced to me. And obviously, you know, that's, I mean, probably where this is coming from. I mean, Lana's kind of like the first one, at least to be successfully, like, be a pop singer with those trap influences.
Right.
Which at this point is, you know, like, kind of like a five-year-old trend. So,
yeah.
I'm kind of on Deep End, but I like Hard Rain.
I think it's almost easier to be a fan of these songs, especially Deep End, if you're not a huge fan of her to begin with. Which is, I think that can be argued.
Actually a really good point.
Like, for most artists, whenever they have, like, a pretty stark sonic shift, like, if you've been a diehard fan forever of what they do and you want more of that, it's harder to accept something new. And, like, for me, who's been a casual listener, it's, like, it's easier to just hop on the train with this.
I think that's a very good point. That reminds me of, like, Liz Phair, which I guess I'm thinking about her because she has the Guyville reissue, and we interviewed her. I remember when Why Can't I Breathe came out, and everyone was like crying sellout and how bad it was. But like, honestly, like that song is so good. It's
that's
such
an
a
amazing
jam.
Song.
But like, you see why people thought that, because she was like the indie queen, and then she's doing this song that sounds like Avril Lavigne. But like, but yeah, no, I see what you're saying. Like, maybe it's coming into this with the wrong expectations for me.
Yeah.
But anyways, let's listen to some of both. So let's do a little Deep End first, and then we'll hit that Hard Rain. All right, that was new Licky Lee. Let's do, I guess, let's hit Lindsay pick.
All right.
Khalid and Billie Eilish.
Oh, yes.
You love both of these.
I love them so much.
The song's called Lovely.
It's a lovely song.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Lyrically, sonically, like, it's just the right amount of stripped down with the violins and the piano. It's just like a gorgeous ballad from two really exceptional songwriters and vocalists. And the album artwork is just stunning, seeing them together. The music video came out yesterday.
Ooh.
Yeah. It was okay. A lot of people love it.
So different from, like, wasn't there, like, a Spotify one, too? There was, like, a vertical video.
Oh, I don't understand the whole vertical video thing.
Yeah.
That's a conversation for another time. I don't get it. I don't get a lot of things. But, yes, I think the song is amazing. And just, I could go on and on about Khalid forever. He dropped this on the same day as On the Way, OTW, as the kids are calling it. That's the actual name of it. Because who spells out words anymore? But yeah, I mean, he dropped two very different songs on the same day. Both of them are doing really well. And that just shows, like, he's so versatile in what he can do. And for someone who says he has an album coming out this year, it's like, it could go a lot of different ways, which is exciting.
All right, I'll go. I mean, yeah, I think, you know, true to the title, it is lovely. I wish, I don't know, it's not super memorable to me. Like, I wish maybe there was, like, a little more of a melody in there. But
yeah,
I like it. I like what he's doing with his voice a lot. But I like it. It's good. I'm not in love with it.
I kind of agree with what you said about it being, like, memorable. Like, when you said that, I just tried to remember in my head, like, different verses of it, and I kind of remember the chorus, but not that much else. But it is, like, an arguably, like, gorgeous melody, and the voices go so well together. But the other thing I like about it is Billie Eilish just has, like, such a funny personality. Like, she's a very funny person, and she's very sarcastic. And the title of the song is, like, it's lovely and the song is lovely, but I remember her saying in like a Genius interview that like it's supposed to be sarcastic. It's like, oh, isn't it lovely that I'm sad? Like, oh, isn't this
well, that's exactly what the music video is like. Okay. They're trapped in a glass box and they're like,
then it makes
sense. Isn't this lovely? Like, here we are. Like, we belong to like everyone else almost.
Right. So that's that it got a little bit of her personality in there because she's just like, she has such smart, like, wry humor, especially for her age. So I thought it was...
Is she 16 or 18?
She's definitely not 18.
So six, wow. She's super young.
That's impressive, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she's either 15 or 16.
It's 16, I think.
And he's, like, 18? Or maybe...
He's 20.
Oh, he's 20 now.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, whatever. Anyways.
Anyways.
Nevertheless, still very young. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's cool. It's cool seeing... two people in a somewhat similar age range, like I mean, Khalid got a start before her obviously, but the fact that they're like coming up together and like they both have very clear artistic visions really early on and that they could see that, and I don't know, who knows what how this happened, but I in my heart of hearts believe that the two of them were like, hey, like, you're cool, let's
work totally
together. Like
that.
It was not like their publicists or their managers, just like the two of them think the other one is dope and wanted to make a song.
No, I've even been told that at least on Billie's end, she'll employ like a 15-year-old photographer for her shows because she's so like, I want to empower other young people.
Yeah.
So I have no doubt that like that played into it and that this was their idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Hopefully I'm not wrong after being so strongly.
Billie, let us know.
Whatever. Whatever, but yeah.
All right. Well, let's listen to it. So Khalid and Billie Eilish song is called Lovely.
My mind of stone, tear me to pieces, skin to bone. Hello, welcome home.
All right, well, that was lovely.
Wasn't it?
Next and last, this is one of my picks. It is Kali Uchis. The song is Feel Like a Fool from the album Isolation.
This album is amazing.
So yeah, weird. I have to admit, like, probably should have talked about this on the last podcast, but, like, it's so good. This album, it's, like, one of my absolute favorites of this year.
I know.
Year. It's just, like, a
It's
knockout.
Really impressive for a debut.
It's so, so good. Yeah, and it's just, I mean, I guess, you know, before I talk about this song, I mean, yeah, the album itself is, like, so stylistically diverse. Like, it really, like, covers, I don't want to say most styles, because it's not like there's, like, EDM on it, but, like,
right.
You
know. She covers a lot of ground, though.
She covers a lot of ground. There's, you know, there's Latin influences, there's hip-hop influences, more straightforward R&B, more, like, 70s soul. A little bit of rock, a little bit of Latin. It's just, it's fantastic, and, I almost, like, I know I picked this song, and I almost hate that I picked this song, because this song very much, so it feels like a fool is the one I'm focusing on. It sounds very Amy Winehouse-ish in a way that is not really representative of her sound overall. But I do think that it's just still, like, one of the best songs I've heard this year. Like, this is, like, I'm constantly spinning it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's so, like, Winehouse, like, throwback kind of... A little girl group, a little Motown flavor. It's just, it's so good.
The beginning of it, like the first few seconds, Grease is one of my favorite movies. I love that movie. And for whatever reason, I picture like the first few seconds of this song during the scene of the high school dance.
Yeah.
I don't know how familiar you guys are with Grease, but it just like, it really like transported me to that.
Well, there's something nostalgic about it.
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm getting at here. Mm-hmm. Which is just cool and unexpected, and then it sort of goes down a different path from there.
Yeah.
I got a little bit of Alabama Shakes on this, too.
Yeah, I could see that.
It's just, yeah, it's cool what she does, and this song, like you said, is very different from all the other ones. They all kind of stand alone, but at the same time, like, they form a very complete album.
Yeah, and I like songs that are about something that, like, is kind of sad, but are, like, fun to listen to.
Yeah.
Like, danceable and happy in the like sound of it, and that's definitely one of them, so I like that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the lyrics are like basically
kinda sad.
I like you, oh, but you have a child and you didn't tell me about that. It's like, it is like really sad. Now I feel like an idiot is basically but the song
is
like upbeat and kind of like ebullient, and it's super fun to listen to, and her voice sounds incredible.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of one of those, I mean, I guess this is just like the joy of, you know, being a music stan is like she just seemed to kind of like come out of nowhere. And
yeah.
The album is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, and she also had a great Coachella. Miguel brought her out. I forgot who else. Like, from all the conversations I've had about it, she seems to be one of the standout artists. So.
Mm-hmm.
Good for her.
I wasn't invited.
I wasn't there either. I just conversed, had some conversations.
Yeah, read some things on the internet.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, well, let's listen to it. It's Kali Uchis' song is Feel Like a Fool. Well, that's what we got. That's this week's must hear. You guys have any parting thoughts?
Special shout out to Mr. Jukes. No, this is
okay.
Yeah,
where
let
are you
me
going
explain.
With this? Yeah.
I saw his show at Rough Trade last night. His first U.S. show. It's a guy from Bombay Bicycle Club.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the greatest, like, most fun shows I've seen in a really long time. He has no new music out. I forgot when his album came out, but just wanted to.
Okay.
Mention him here to all of our listeners.
Wait, what is his name?
Mr. Jukes.
Mr. Jukes. Okay.
Yeah.
The second you said it, I thought Dr. Duke, and I was like, that's not what you said.
Yeah, it sounds weird, like especially when I just said it out of context, but...
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, shout out to him. Great.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you have any recommendations for us, what we should be listening to, we're coming up on the summer... So we got to start thinking about, well, we have our annual What is the Song of the Summer podcast going to be?
Song of Summer
Where we make
down.
Predictions that are, I think, historically have proven true. So
I think we all said Despacito last year.
Mm-hmm. Right? We did.
Yeah.
And the year before that, whatever the Song of the Summer was, I'm sure we said that too.
Who can remember?
Who can remember? And I'm sure there's no
all
way
I
to
remember
fact check that.
Is that I know Joe in the summer staggers around. Wasn't that what you said when we were talking about it? Like, I'm just too busy,
staggers.
Like, staggering around.
I don't remember
that. Oh, it was
that.
So funny. We'll have to find the clip and put
choice.
It in.
Staggering.
I guess, yeah, I mean, I don't like sunlight, so...
Yeah.
Maybe that's what I meant.
I don't know. It was great.
And I can't walk. I don't know what I'm talking about. I never know what I'm talking about.
Anyway.
All right. Thank you for listening, as always. And stick around. We have the rock band Heinz, who are an incredible group of... Spaniards doing some great things in the indie scene. They brought some recommendations of bands that they're friends with and bands that they love, and they are going to talk to us about some must-hear music right now. So let's do that. Hello, this is the Must Hear Music Podcast at Billboard, and we have special guests, Heinz here. Heinz are from Madrid. Welcome. Thank you guys so much for joining me.
Hola.
Thank you.
Do you guys want to introduce yourselves?
Yeah, my name is Carlota, and I play the guitar.
I'm Anna, and I play the guitar, too.
I'm Amber, and I play the drums.
And I'm Maddie, and I play the bass.
Cool. So you guys have some music recs, but before we get to that, and thank you so much for bringing some suggestions... let's talk about the album. So your first one I really enjoyed, and
thank
the new
you.
One sounds great too. It's kind of like, it seems like a like kind of growth in a way to me. Like, how did it feel to you guys?
Like in between the comparison in between the first one and the second one?
Yeah.
I think we did write the songs in a very more mature way just because we grew up
mm-hmm.
and we played a lot and we listened to new music and stuff. But I think the main difference in between first and second album is sound-wise. Like, it really sounds better because we played better our instruments and mm-hmm. we sing better and all that stuff. So I think in the sound is when you're going to tell, oh, this is clearly a second album.
Yeah. Do you think it's, like, musicianship-wise, you guys have, like, gotten a little tighter as a band, like, figured
yes.
it out?
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so what is it, like, I mean, you know, you guys sound like you're having so much fun when you, like, sing your songs and, like, on record. Like, what is the songwriting process for you guys? Is it, like, super enjoyable? Is it really fast? Like, how does it work out?
It depends on every song. Some songs comes out really fast. Like, the first single we just released, the New For You song, mm-hmm. that one was really, really fast. It was the last one we wrote, and we wrote the music, like, in one day or in 2 days. Lyrics came out in one night, like mm-hmm. 2 hours, and suddenly it was like a sentence after another one, like, oh my God, we really have this. And that is the only one that we completely recorded ourselves. So that was fast too. I mean, like, I don't know, everything was kind of yeah. easy going and fast, but it really depends. There are so many songs that we get stuck, and suddenly we have the verses, but we cannot find a chorus that we like, or mm-hmm. like, for example, for The Club, that happened. Like, we really had the verses and cool verses and stuff, and it was kind of impossible to find a chorus to our minds at the same level of quality.
Yeah. We were about to close it without chorus. Remember? Yes. We were like, okay, if we can find it, we can find it. Yeah. You can't force it.
Yeah.
Just a song without a chorus and go with it.
You're gonna be the first one.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess, so you guys, you know, did a lot of touring. Were you able to write anything while you were touring, or was this all like post-tour that you
never.
Put it together?
Because the way we tour is not like on a tour bus where you have the mm-hmm. whole day off. It's like
yeah.
in the van for like 4 or 6 hours. Everyone like packed yeah. as hell. And yeah, like we get to places, we do interviews, we do sound check, and mm-hmm. like we just play shows, party a little bit, and then that's it. So we really don't have like extra time. And the way we do, we still, this record, we wrote it like the first one, like really in our like own rooms, where like we keep it really private. It's mm-hmm. not like, you know, it's like we, I don't know, yeah, just the four of us like yeah. rethinking about, we like get obsessed with it. And yeah, that's the way it works for us.
And so, I mean, you'll be heading out on the road again. Are you excited for that? Or are you nervous yes. to be 20 people back in a van?
No, I'm so excited. Yes. Yeah.
What's your, do you have a favorite, like, touring, like, playing live versus, like, recording in the studio? Do you have a preference?
Probably, we enjoy being on the studio, but it's not like, we don't spend that amount of time like mm-hmm. to call it we don't spend 3 months on the studio,
right.
So it's not like
yeah
like,
the studio in the end is always a little bit stressful in the end, like you, yeah. you're making so many decisions all the time that it's like at some point you need like I don't know just to lose a bit, you know,
right? Yeah. And so I mean, now that the album's done, like what does it like mean to you guys, like listening back to it,
the new one?
Yeah.
It's just,
it gets better and better.
Yeah, it's horrible because we all love it. We love it so much. And it's like weird to say it out loud.
Stop listening to your own record.
Yes, but we love it very much. We're really, really proud.
Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic. It's, I like it. I love the first one. I like it better than the first one. So
yeah, cool.
I think it's a very strong one. So cool. Well, you guys brought some suggestions. So let's talk about that stuff. I have the list. Is there anyone in particular you want to start with or focus on?
No, we have chosen like two songs
two
each.
Yes.
So
okay.
We can roll.
Cool. Let's go around then.
Venga,
yeah, I don't remember mine.
Oh, I have it. Yeah.
Do I have to say stuff about it?
If you can, yeah.
Okay,
just say like why you like it or what, you know, like talk about the movie
okay.
a little bit.
I chose, do you know Harmar Superstar?
I do, yeah.
Yes, the song is Late Night Morning Light.
Yeah.
And it was cool because I was, we're really big fans of The Strokes, so I was in looking at Julian's label and everything, and
yeah.
using that.
Yeah.
So I was like, who's this guy? It's like a weird kind of.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
I saw one video and I loved it. Like the way.
Que está sonando cada vez que haces así, suena en los cascos, claro.
So yeah, like I started listening to it and I was like freaking out. Like, what is this? Is this from nowadays? Like, I couldn't believe
yeah.
it. And I loved it. So I've been putting it on the van and everything.
Yeah,
we loved it too.
He's a real oddball. Yeah, he's named after this mall called Harmar. So I'm from Minneapolis originally.
Uh-huh.
And they tore it down now, but it was like this really kind of like janky mall in Minnesota that he named himself afterwards. So, yeah,
so nice.
Come from the same area, but yeah. And what was your other one?
My other one was Who's Up by Paul Cherry.
Yes.
He's this guy. He's like, I found him in Spotify in the Relationable Artist.
Yeah.
And because he's like kind of this Mac DeMarco vibe.
Yeah, I love Mac DeMarco.
Yes. And I don't know, it's like, it's cool because I thought of that one because every time I put it in the van, like I've done it three times, and Amber always goes, who's this again? So we like it too.
I chose Friends.
Okay, so yeah, friend bands.
Yes, I chose Nux Fortune, the song called Help. I don't know if it's myself or yourself. Now that I agreed in myself, but...
Let me check.
I'm not sure, but yeah. Help
one
or
of the
yourself,
two, myself or yourself.
Yeah, yeah. And he's a friend from Chicago. Actually, he's the one who, do you know Chance the Rapper?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Do you know the song "All Night I've Been Drinking"? All night I've been drinking.
Yeah.
He's that voice.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
He's cool. Yeah. We didn't believe it, and we made him sing it, and yes,
and it was true.
Yes,
he was not lying.
Yeah. And the whole album he has released is
awesome. It's so
like,
good.
Really, really good. And I think he's doing great. Like, suddenly he's going to play Coachella and he's going to play, like, big festivals and
he's
stuff.
He's doing South by Southwest, too.
Yeah, is he? Cool. Yeah, nice. And he's so nice. So, yeah. So nice.
He looks like Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Such a big smile, too.
Yeah, yeah. And... I don't know how would I describe the music, though. Like, what kind of style is like? We cannot call it electronic, right? No.
It's pretty pop.
It's pop.
It's
super
pop.
But he's
pop with beats.
Yeah, but a little bit more lo-fi. Like, like sound-wise, it's not pop at all, but, like, melodies and everything.
It's cool. It's cool and cool to listen.
And he's, like, a friend you guys met touring, or?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's a friend of, you know, Twin Peaks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're friends with them, and then when we... went to Chicago for the first time, we went out with them and their friends, and it was one of
we met him at a house party in Chicago.
Yeah.
And then the other friends, I chose, they're called Grape Tooth, and actually it's one of the Twin Peaks guys' side
band.
Project.
Ah,
band.
Okay. Yeah.
And
I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, they only have one song out, so
okay.
I mean, like, this is so small. The song is called Travel. But it's actually a really, really, really good song. Like, the grading and everything. Like, it's really catchy, and the style they've chosen is pretty cool and pretty different from Twin Peaks. Like, so different. And they just started like right now. So, to help the new music.
Yeah, get into the ground level.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited. That sounds... I like Twin Peaks, so I'm very curious to see what that would be like.
And then this is...
you
need your thumb.
Let me grab. All right. There's...
All right. So, I also chose Friends.
Okay.
Yeah.
Supporting the Friends.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's more interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, the first one is a song from Claudia Vega, a friend from Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called I Could Cry. And it's a friend of mine from school. And
that's cool.
It's really nice because she's working on her new record, like her first debut record. And she's actually doing it with our friend that produced our first record, Diego from The Pirates,
nice.
Another band from Madrid.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting how he's, like, to see a producer that we know, how he's working on a music that is pretty different.
Yeah.
Because it's more, like, acoustic, but also has, like, weird, like, instruments, like, more, like, violin and, like, more, like, crazy things like what we use. So, it's really cool. I really like her lyrics, too. Like, the way she... I don't know. It's kind of, like, a mix in between London and Madrid, like, classical Spanish writings, like, from really back in the day. It's really interesting.
Yeah. And did you always know her as someone who did music, or is this something new in
No,
her
we
life?
we both met before we both did music. I mean, we always, like, used to, like, play guitar, but, you know, like, covers and stuff.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Like, just really, like, for fun. Never,
That's cool.
like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool. She just started, like, actually playing shows last year. Because she was living in Korea, so she started writing songs there in Seoul, so yeah.
Yeah. Cool. And what's your other one?
My other one is Adora Severo, and it's called No Quiero Gritar, the song. And he's also from a really close friend. And he's from New York, and he's actually opening the show tonight that we're playing.
Oh, okay.
At and I don't know, it's cool because the kind of music he does is something that I wouldn't even know how to call it. Yes. It's pop, but it's rock, but it's punk, but it's it's everything in between.
Yeah.
And I don't listen to anything similar to that.
Yeah.
But he really reminds me to a lot of things that I do listen. But from Michael Jackson to the Rolling Stones, the weirdest mix.
Yeah, all over the place.
Yeah, I'm excited to see him tonight.
That's cool. And last but not least, what were your picks?
My picks were a song called Teseta. And I like it a lot because it's from who? Wait for it. It's one of the 20 albums King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard did last year.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, they did it with Milt High Club.
Same Milt High Club.
And I just like the whole album. It's so cool, so chill.
Yeah.
And the other song is See You Again by Tyler, the Creator, because it's my favorite song of the album.
Oh, really?
I think it's super crazy good album.
Yeah, no, I love him. And that's it's on Flower Boy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a really good record.
I've been obsessed with that record.
I'm so obsessed.
It's great, yeah. Cool. Well, I'm excited. I know some of those, and I'm excited to check out Grape Tooth, right? Twin Peaks.
Grape Tooth.
Okay.
Because I've been saying Grape Truth the whole night,
yeah.
and
it's not
Grape
that.
Truth.
Yeah, it's
apparently,
one of the
apparently, it's what you get when you drink wine.
Yeah.
In your teeth.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, that's the meaning. That's the meaning.
Oh my god.
Now makes sense.
That's
with the,
so
like
cool.
Such a bad name. Why did they?
Yeah.
Why did they choose that?
But it's
yeah.
The same.
Yeah.
You know, makes sense.
Okay. Now that makes sense. Cool. Well, thank you for the great recommendations. I'm excited to dive into those. And do you have anything you want to add about your album or the upcoming tour or just, you know, where you guys are at right now?
I don't know.
We'll be back here in May, no?
Yes. We'll be back in America in May. And we're going to have a crazy year trying to satisfy all the places of the world. So hope if we don't go to your city.
You come to ours.
Yes, or listen to the album in your house.
All right, cool. Thank you so much. So that's Heinz, the album I Don't Run, out April 6th, and then they're touring the States after that. Right, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Adios.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.